Amen. Praise the Lord for the special tonight. And when you truly know what Jesus did for you, my goodness, how can you not worship, praise, and serve the Lord? Amen. What a blessing. Well, thank you, young people, for your testimonies tonight. And it's always a blessing to hear how God has worked in your hearts and lives. And that is what we pray for, that for the camps. We pray that God would use these in the lives of the young people as they go to camp, whether it's junior high school, whether it's summer camp or winter camp. You get them isolated away from the things that are feeding the sinful nature that we spoke on this morning, and you start helping them to feed the new nature, and it will make a difference in their thinking. If it makes a difference in their thinking, it'll make a difference in how they live their lives. And we just need to make sure that we continue to help them to feed that new nature and to follow after the Lord. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. It's been some time in getting to this place. We started on Sunday nights going through and teaching on each book of the Bible and giving you one message on each book of the Bible. That's 66 messages. Amen. And understanding why every book is there, why God has placed it in the scriptures and the purpose for it. And so we studied every book of the Bible as far as an outline of every book of the Bible. When we got the book of Revelation, we started breaking it down and teaching it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we've come through so much. Now, the Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. And some things that we've looked at all along concerning that is God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. This Bible right here, it's God's love letter to mankind. It's what God knows man needs, okay? And so realize we have what we need. We have what God has determined that we need in understanding the past, the present, and the future. And so He's a purpose for that, for revealing what He's revealed. Good men differ on some of the interpretations. Don't spend a lot of time arguing and fussing over things that make no difference at all. How much pitch was in the ark? You know, I mean, there's some of these things that people disagree on and want to go back and forth are so silly. I mean, that does not make any difference whatsoever. It floated. Amen. That's what it's all about. Practical. And that's the next thing. This is a practical study. If you come to this church, you're going to receive practical preaching because that's all I know how to do. Amen. Is to preach the biblical truths and make them applicable to our everyday lives. I believe that's why they're here. I think that's the most important thing that we have. God wants us to live for Him. And we got to be able to take the scriptures and live the Word of God in this 21st century. Amen. So practically understanding the scriptures, why God has revealed it to us, and then being able to live by the word that God has revealed to us. Now, we've been studying several things in this book of Revelation. Once we got to the future. Now, chapters 2 through 3 deal with the church age. That's this current age that we're living in right now, this church age. The next event in prophecy will be the rapture of the church. That's chapter 4. And that ushers in the tribulation period. Chapters 4 through 19, tribulation time. And there's so much there that God reveals concerning that time. So we studied the rapture. We studied the tribulation, the judgment seat of Christ, which will be taking place in heaven with the born-again believers while this earth is going through a seven-year tribulation period. Then there's going to be the Armageddon, the last battle. And then Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, we're going to have a millennial reign. The millennial reign of Christ. He will actually sit on the throne in Jerusalem on this present earth. What a blessing that's going to be. Righteousness will rule and reign. We studied how what this world's going to be like during that time. And because there's the Lord's going to sit and rule and reign. And so it'll just going to change everything. And then after the millennial reign, Satan is loose for a season. And he's going to be able to deceive multitudes of people. Then there's going to be the end. Satan is cast into this eternal lake of fire. And then we have the great white throne judgment. And every person that has ever lived and rejected God, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be there at that great white throne judgment. They're going to give an account for how they live, for their opportunities, not to determine whether they go to heaven or not. If they're going to go to heaven, they're not there. is to determine the degrees of hell. And the books of their works were going to be opened, and everyone will give an account of those works at that time. Then after the great white throne judgment, that was the last that we have studied. Now we're in chapter 21, and it's a blessing. And I trust tonight will be an encouragement to realize what God has revealed to us about eternity. So stand with me. Let's read just five verses tonight. We might get down to verse 8, but we're going to read verse 1 through 5. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, the heaven being the atmosphere. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity that you make available for each one that's here to be here. Thank you for them taking advantage of that, having a desire to be in church tonight. I pray that you would just speak to each one of us, that you would make available that spiritual food, that help that we need. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth that message that you have for each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Before the closing of the scriptures, what God has written down for us, He wanted us to know some things about heaven. He has a purpose for revealing what He's revealed. And can I tell you that we have a need to understand the truth about heaven. And I think verse 5 is a key as he is speaking to John, and he says, And he sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write. This is something that I want to make sure that you write down, because I'm going to preserve it for all humanity to be able to read. This truth about heaven. And he says, For these words are true. And faithful, it means that you can put your faith in it. You can count on it. You can know that it's something that we have to look forward to. It's real. It's real. Know that heaven is real. But for now, keep living by my word. Have it in the back of your mind. I don't think there's a day goes by that I don't think about heaven. I'm not reminded in some way, somehow, about eternity. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm letting Him to live through me. I have to be mindful of that, or I won't do that. I have to be mindful. No, I'm not going to act according to this flesh. I'm going to make sure that I am living in the Spirit and yielding to the Spirit to be able to accomplish what God has for me to accomplish. And as I'm doing that, I am reminded about this is not the end. There is a place of heaven. There is an eternal God. If we're not careful, we'll lose sight of the reality of heaven. We'll lose sight of the eternal things. And when you lose sight of the eternal things, we're more apt to give in to the temporary things. And this world is very much aware of what it needs to do to get a hold of your mind and to get a hold of your eyes, to get a hold of your heart, your emotions, and try to pull you in to whatever the world wants you to believe and however the world wants you to live. And Satan is the god of this world. God's going to be the God of the new heaven and new earth. Amen? Right now, the Bible reveals to us this is not our home, and the life that we now live here, Satan is the god of this world. And so we have to be aware of this is not our home. We are looking forward to being at home one day. But there's a purpose for our life on this earth. If we're not careful, we'll lose sight of the reality of heaven and hell and eternity. Most people do not have a clear understanding of what God says about heaven. Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. We're going to come back to the Revelation, but I want you to... Of course, Jesus spoke much about heaven. He revealed much about hell as well, but he spoke much about heaven and told us about what was going to take place and what we could look forward to. We find here in the book of Colossians in chapter 3... As Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and God knowing that every church would read this and understand that it's to their church as well, this letter of God's to the church of Colossae is a letter from God to the Lighthouse Baptist Church as well, and the people of this church. And he says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "If you then be risen with Christ, if you're saved, seek those things which are above." You have to believe in that which is above. You have to believe in heaven. You have to believe in an eternal God. "Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth." You have to make yourself do that. You will not do that if you're living in the flesh. You'll not do that if you're not mindful of God. You'll not do that if you're not mindful of why we're here on this earth. And so it says, set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. "For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." That's dead to the flesh. Paul says, "I die daily, because if I don't, this whole sinful nature will take a hold of my life. And it will lead me in a wrong direction. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him," look right here, "in glory." Amen. "Then shall you also appear with him," and it's going to be a glorious place. Can I tell you that heaven is going to be a glorious place? It's going to be an eternal place. You can't have too high of expectations of heaven. I help people to understand that all the time. I tell them, you know, you have to limit your expectations on earth. You have to limit your expectations on your spouse. You have to limit your expectations on your parents, on your children. Because if you have too high of expectations, you're going to get hurt. And when you get hurt, you're going to get bitter and all these things. And so you have to be aware that I cannot have too high of expectations of any man, no matter who they are, no matter what relationship they are to me, any woman. Why? Because we're never going to be able to meet someone's highest expectations. But you can't have too high of expectations in glory. God gives us just a glimpse of what it's going to be, and the glimpse of what it's going to be is going to be so superior to what we've ever experienced. The relationships in heaven will be so superior than one of the greatest relationships on earth that God's given to us is marriage. Amen. And the blessings of marriage. And he says it's going to be so much better than that, that there's not even going to be marriages in heaven. Amen. I mean, that's pretty high of expectations. It's a glorious place. He said, understand, as we're living this life, realize that there is an eternal place coming. It's a glorious place. It's heaven. It's heaven. Heaven's real. One day, all the bad, all the evil, all the negatives will be gone. Go back to me. This is what's written down. He said this right down. He said, because my children need to understand this. And they need to live their life on earth with this in mind. You say, well, I'm expecting to eat in heaven. You can. And expect everything to be calorie free. You'll never have to worry about gaining weight. I'm expecting to catch fish in heaven. I enjoy fish. You're going to catch the biggest fish you've ever caught in your life. Amen. I enjoy this. Heaven's going to be so superior to that. I enjoy this. Heaven is far beyond that. You cannot, when you go on a vacation, you have expectations. Many times, if you have too high of expectations, you don't have as good a time because it didn't live up to what you were expecting. Listen to me. You cannot have too high of expectations of heaven. It will supersede any of them. What a blessing. Everything evil, everything bad, everything negative will be gone. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. It's gone. He says in verse 5, I make all things new. Now he says a new heaven and a new earth. Now I remember as the youngest of seven boys, sometimes I was told I was getting new clothes. But I pretty much knew it's what everyone that was my size before me wore. It was just passed down. It would have been new to me, but they were not new clothes. Heaven's not going to be that way. It's not going to be a reconditioned earth. This earth is going to get burned up. The atmosphere of this earth is going to be gone. We find that God says, I want you to know that I make all things new. It's going to have price tags all over it. It's a new heaven. All things new. A new creation created by God for an eternity for man. A new heaven. What is that? That's a new atmosphere. This atmosphere is going to be gone. No more hurricanes. No more tornadoes. No more cold. My wife is hallelujah, I know. Yeah. No more heat. The Bible actually says there's no need of the sun. There's no need of the moon. Now, we can't understand that because we know, and the more we understand about that, the sun and the moon have much to do with the climate on earth. I mean, somehow the moon controls the waves of the sea. Now, I don't know. There's so much about it that the more they learn, the more they understand the atmosphere that God established for humanity. And on this present day earth, we have all these natural disasters and we have these things that none of us would want to go through a hurricane, or none of us would want to go through a tornado. None of us would want to go through the extreme cold or the extreme heat. He says, it's going to be perfect. If you're a person who loves the heat, it's going to be just the way you like it. If you're a person that enjoys the cold, buddy, it's going to be just the way you like it. Amen? He's the one that calls us every winter to have snow. He prays for it. We lock him in a room after we've had enough of it and say, are you one that comes to the church? And it happens every time we assemble ourselves together. There's somebody shivering that's wanting to put on a coat, jacket, and there's somebody else sitting right behind them fanning themselves because they're so hot. I've often said, if I could work it out, I would. We'd have to put zones up in the church. This is a blue zone. If you like the cold, right underneath this cold vent here, that's a blue zone. And over here, you're a little bit farther away from the vents and realize that's where the cold air comes from, the vents, all right? Be aware of that, all right? If you don't want to be cold in the summertime, get away from the vents. If you don't want to be hot in the wintertime, get away from the vents. Because in the wintertime, the only way that we're getting heat outside the body heat is that the vents are going to put out hot air. And so be aware of where you're sitting. If you're cold, sitting in a warm zone. If you're warm too hot, sit in a cold zone. But in heaven, it'll be just the way everyone likes it. Yeah. It's a new heaven, a new earth. The atmosphere is going to be perfect, and the earth is going to be perfect. No more earthquakes. No more volcanoes. No more tsunamis. I like this. No more weeds. Think of another. No more pollution. No more smell of stench. No more dead animals catching your eye when you look by. No, why did I look? Not going to be there. No more decay. Nothing will have need to decay. Nothing will die. I'm just giving you some things that the Bible tells us that he says, write it down. I want them to understand this. I want them to know this. They're going to need to realize that what they have coming is glorious. What a promise by an almighty God who cannot lie. What a place. God knew that we would need this understanding in this life when facing this life. Did you get a hold of that? God knows what this life holds for all of us. He understands that Satan is the god of this world. He understands the curse upon this planet Earth and the curse upon the body of man. He understands all that. So God knew that we would need this understanding in this life when facing this life. When facing something that we cannot avoid. Physical problems and death. If this body's aging, you're going to face physical problems. And at some point, it's appointed that a man wants to die. He says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself, who created all things, who's able to do all things, shall be with them. No longer will Satan be the god of the earth. The new heaven and the new earth, God will be the god of the new heaven and the new earth. And he'll be their God. And at this time, God says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. No more death. Anyone that's ever lost a loved one, can I tell you, you don't want that feeling. Anyone that's ever been outside of a surgical waiting room waiting for a report, they made it through the surgery. Is it cancer? Whatever it might be, you never want that. And God knew the help we have in facing life on this earth. Don't lose sight of what we have to look forward to. We pray and we ask, but we know it's appointed a man wants to die. It's going to take place. We pray and we ask for healing, and God performs miracles, and he can sustain us, but ultimately the body is going to fail. Just the fact of this world. It's a fact of the life that we live right now. If this is all there is, there's no hope, there's no help. But we know that this is not all there is. When we know that heaven is real, it's a glorious place. It gives us that help that we need as we go through the valley of the shadow of death. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Of course, the Bible gives us all the different references and helps us. But I love what verse 15 down to verse 18 reveals to us, again, with knowing what we know concerning heaven. The Bible says, and Paul writes to the church at Corinth, which is writing to the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. As you go through the trials and troubles, whatever they might be, as you give thanks to God, amen, may redound to the glory of God. God wants to be glorified through our lives, whether it's by death or whether it's by life. He wants to be glorified through our lives. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, it's going to happen. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I think the more that the outward man perishes, the more need we have for the inward man to flourish. And for the inward man to flourish has to be focused on what's ahead of us, not what we're going through, not what's behind, but what we have, we're getting closer to. We're getting closer to heaven. It could be tonight, amen, or at least the tribulation could start tonight on this earth and we can be glorified and meet with the Lord in the air, amen. The rapture could take place. But if it does not and we have to pass on off of this earth, we die physically, praise the Lord for that, because it ends the misery of this world and we have a glorious place to look forward to. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, 100 years, but a moment when it comes to eternity, because there's no time in eternity. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding. Now, you don't believe that if you don't believe in heaven. An eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Whew. What a blessing. Our outward man might be perishing, but as we live for God, we have confidence in what's to come. A new heaven. And a new body to go along with a new heaven and a new earth. We need to know this when we face physical problems and death. We need to know this when we face the burdens of this life. He said death is going to pass away. Praise the Lord, you won't have to worry about that. You won't have to ever deal with that again in eternity. But he goes on to say in chapter 21, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more tears. No more sorrows. Why? Because they'll be gone. Wiped away by God. Does it mean that we're not going to have sorrows? We're going to have sorrows. In this life, there's going to be tears. There's going to be sorrows. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be all the different emotions that the Bible reveals that we're going to have to experience. We're going to go through those times. We're going to go through those seasons of life. But we don't have to go through them without having this in our hearts and in our minds. There's coming a day. And all this will be gone. What a glorious day that'll be. For now, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Every man shall bear his own burden. Everyone is going to have their own burdens to bear. Now, he also tells us we can't help bear one another's burdens, but not until the individual is willing to say, God, with your help, I can bear whatever burdens that you want for me, you have to put on me. Whatever you determine, whatever you decide that I need to have to go through to bring glory and honor to you, whatever trials that you put me through, whatever pain, whatever suffering, I know one day you're going to wipe it all away. And so that means that one day I know it's going to happen, so while I am here and I have to bear these burdens, I know that you are to be glorified in the midst of it. That's what I want to do. And when you're ready, when you're looking to God and ready to bear your own burdens, then you can have the burden bearers, others to help you bear your burdens. But there's a reason, there's a purpose for every burden God puts on us. Don't lose sight of there's a reason why things happen the way they happen. Don't lose sight that God is in control of that. He doesn't cause it. He could stop it if he chose to do so. But if he allows it, there is a reason for that. And that reason is going to be a burden. And that burden will do something for you to draw you closer to the Lord. But you don't have to just focus on that thinking this is all there is. No, you bear your burdens understanding what God wants you to know about what's to come. That'll make all the difference in the world. Don't get angry with God. Why'd you give me cancer? Why'd you take my spouse? Why'd you allow this to happen? You might not know this side of heaven. There's a purpose. Don't get angry with God. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves. For myself, as I go through it, I have a tendency. If you only knew what my wife has to put up with. Amen. No, I got to say stop. Satan, get behind me. You're not going to use this to discourage me. You're not going to use this to bring discouragement in my life. You're not going to use this to blind me to what God has revealed I have to look forward to. As long as I keep that in view, as long as I know that this is temporal, that's eternal. Listen to me. I can make it through whatever burden that God chooses to put on me. Because I know also along with that, he'll not put more on me than what I'm able to bear without giving me a way of escape. Because that's God's love. Now, he knows you can bear more than what you think you can bear. He knows that. But you can count on, he'll not put more on you. If you take advantage of what he's got given you already to get through it. Continue to live by his word. Continue to focus on the things that are eternal. I believe God has recorded this and he's revealed to us what we need to make it through dealing with the burdens of this life. And then lastly, no more pain. For the former things are passed away. You know who wants to inflict pain? Satan himself. Satan himself wants to inflict more pain than anything else. Warfare. Spiritual warfare is all around us in this life. In heaven, one day, and that day Satan will be gone. No more tempter. No more sin nature. No more sin. The things that bring us pain in this life will be gone. And God says, there'll be no more pain of mind. There'll be no more pain of heart. There's no more pain. Whew. When I get a toothache, I have to remember that. Something that's just there and you can't do anything about it. You know, all the offices are closed and there's nothing there. And you have to, it always happens in the middle of the night. And you just have to make it through it. That's minor, but can I tell you that life works that way too? Pain that it doesn't seem like there's anything I can do about it. I've prayed, I've done all that I can do, and there's no more to do. What you do in that case is realize there's coming a day when there's going to be no more pain. I love that thought. It'll feel better when it stops hurting. You can bank on that. It will. In heaven, no more pain. Spiritual battles, thing of the past. But for now, we have to draw nigh to God. and he'll draw nigh to us. We resist the devil. He says in verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Overcoming. Salvation helps us, it allows us to overcome death and hell. Living a spiritual life helps us to overcome the physical life. Overcoming the pains of this world. Overcoming the sufferings of this world. Overcoming physical problems and death. We're going to have them. God says, I want you to overcome them. Easier said than done, preacher. I know it is, but if you take advantage of what God has given to us, we can be overcomers in every area. One of the most important things to keep on your mind. New heaven. New atmosphere. A new earth. And a new body that's glorified. That fits right in with the new atmosphere and the new earth that God has created for us. Heaven is real. In closing tonight, do you know that's where you'll be for all eternity? Greatest miracle? Salvation. The greatest thing God could do for you? Give you heaven. Give you access to eternal life. Do you know you have it? If you know you have it, whenever you're going through the struggles of this world, just think about it. And then just get into that little prayer closet or that place that only you can take yourself and start rejoicing over what heaven's going to be like.